Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. Praised for his vibrant intensity by the London Times and for playing supremely convincing in its vitality by the Cleveland Plain Dealer, violinist Kevin Lawrence has consistently elicited superlative responses for his performances throughout the U.S. and Europe. His assertive style and strong musical personality have thrilled audiences at Merkin Hall, Carnegie Hall, and Alice Tully Hall in New York, the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C., and in Houston, Chicago, London, Frankfurt, and concert halls all over the world. Kevin's release of the complete violin works of the American composer Arthur Foote on the New World label was highly recommended as, quote, beautifully played by the Washington Post and heard on the Ken Burns series Not For Ourselves Alone, broadcast on PBS. Kevin's second CD of American violin sonatas, recently released by New World, was hailed as vital playing and a labor of love by ClassicsToday.com. Kevin Lawrence currently chairs the string department at the University of North Carolina School of the Arts, which recognized him with its Excellence in Teaching Award in 2007. You can hear Kevin in recital on the University of North Carolina at Greensboro campus in Organ Hall on Tuesday evening, October 29th at 7:30. He'll be tackling what many consider to be the most demanding music for the instrument, the solo violin sonatas by Johann Sebastian Bach. Kevin joined me live in Studio A to share this wonderful music with us.
The big example of pushing the envelope in these three sonatas that Bach wrote for us is the three fugues. And the C major fugue is the longest fugue, I'm told, that he wrote for any instrument. And it's just kind of ridiculous.
Put this piece in the context of the value to violinists here in 2013.
It is a kind of ultimate. There are a few works like this for us. You might say that Paganini wrote 24 caprices, and they have a certain kind of freedom of, you know, you go up and down the fiddle, you do all kinds of amazing things. That's one kind of ultimate. This Bach stuff, it's not in a way as flamboyant as the Paganini, but I think especially the attempts to make the violin do what the keyboard can are, well, there's just never been anything like it before or after.
You happen to have brought your violin to the studio today, Kevin. Would you treat us to this? This is the third movement?
Third movement of the second sonata in A minor.
Great. Kevin Lawrence. We heard the third movement from the second sonata for solo violin by Johann Sebastian Bach. And I have to make that distinction. Had 23 kids and several of them successful composers in their own right. I just listening to that and hearing two and sometimes three accompaniment instruments, or at least the sounds of two different instruments accompanying this gorgeous melody. I'm wondering, how do you work through the balance of these things? It must be a real challenge.
There's a real steep learning curve. And actually, of course, we violinists, we play this music our whole lives. And we're always still stepping out on a limb when we play it. But it's such wonderful music, you just can't keep violinists away from it.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's so. No one captured that mournful spirit in such a gorgeous way than Bach did, and that opening so sparse. We're talking Baroque. The ornate seems to take over in beautiful ways in terms of architecture and the art, but ornamentation in music it makes a huge difference in the way these pieces sound. What is ornamentation for starters, and how does it find its way into these gorgeous sonatas for solo violin?
Well, today we think of the performer as more than anything being faithful to what the composer wrote. At that time, the performer had a job to do that was a little more extensive. Usually, composers would write slow movements with just a sort of spare outline, and it was the job of the performer to elaborate this and make a kind of ornamented version.
All right, well, let's hear that.
¶¶
use the word fugue, which we hear the word fugue on Classical 24 occasionally bantied about. But first off, break it down for us, Kevin, because it's more than just a theme and then a counter theme and you're done.
Yeah, so fugue means chase or pursuit, and it's the same root as our word fugitive. So there's a sense of motion of one voice chasing the other, and kind of the voices pile up on top of each other. They're singing the same thing and interlapping and interweaving. And so there's an excitement about virtually all fugues. I mean, I think many people, when they're children, if they learn to play the piano, they learn maybe, you know, early on they learn some fugue and it seems fairly dull to them. You know, here is, and then goodness, when we go to music theory class, you say, here is the subject. Here is the subject turned upside down, and you yawn. But there's a thrilling virtuosic thing that ends with a huge chord, and then, bam, comes the subject backwards. And there is definitely emotional content here.
Well, let's hear some of this. We're going to hear the fugue from
the third sonata.
Third sonata.
It's the second movement. All these sonatas, by the way, they're all in the Italian church sonata form. They start with a slow movement, then they have a fugue, a sweet little slow movement, and then a kind of virtuosic last movement.
Fugue writing for violin by the true master of fugue, the man who brought it to its zenith, I guess, in the mid-18th century, Johann Sebastian Bach. Amazing to think that the man was considered by even his own sons, I guess, at some point as being a fuddy-duddy by the time. You know, why use fugue when everyone's going with this light classical stuff? But it's just sounds so cutting-edge to me today. Beautiful playing.
It's powerful music. There's no question.
Really is. I want to talk up to the fourth movement just because, it seems like in the fourth movement of the second sonata, Bach just pushes this instrument to the extremes of dynamics on either end in such beautiful ways, in such musical ways. But again, coming from his tradition as a keyboardist to some degree.
It's the most natural thing in the world if you have an organ with no dynamic possibilities except this sudden change going to a different manual.
Mr. Kevin Lawrence here in the studio with us. This is the fourth movement from Bach's second sonata for solo violin. Thank you. violinist and University of North Carolina School of the Arts String Department Chair Kevin Lawrence. On Tuesday night, October 29th at 7:30, you can hear Kevin in recital performing Bach's incredible solo sonatas for violin. He'll perform in Organ Hall on the University of North Carolina at Greensboro campus. You'll find links to more information at wfdd.org. Well, that's all for today's program. Our technical producer is Eddie Garcia, and our associate producer is Bethany Chafin. You'll find podcasts of Try It Arts Weekend, along with pictures and lots of helpful links, on our website, wfdd.org, and click on Try It Arts Weekend. Please send your questions, comments, and suggestions to tryatarts@wfu.edu. I'm David Ford. Thanks for listening to Try It Arts Weekend.